Welcome to the December 1st sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Joshua chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, and the sermon is entitled, The Boldness to Say, As for Me, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
How many of you remember how good God is to you? Amen. Today, I want to take you to a book that you are familiar with, and as we think about Joshua, go to that book, and you said, Pastor, you've already preached through this book, where we're going back to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. And as we think about the family unit, 8 weeks we have been marching through God's Word together, challenging us in our marriages, challenging us in our families, challenging us in our children. And then as we stand today together, we all will be challenged. And I'm going to go on and say this. Before the end of this service, everyone in this room and watching live stream will have to make a choice. You will have to make a choice before you leave today of what you and yours will do. So be prepared for that moment. But in beginning today, we're at the end of the book of Joshua, and I'm just not going to cut it to any other way. Joshua is an old man. And so as Joshua is nearing the end of his life, he is stricken by age. He knows his years are numbered, and he calls in all the leadership of the nation of Israel. He calls and gathers the tribes and the elders and the judges and the officers. And they're not just meeting to have a good time. They're not going to play golf. They're not doing any of that stuff. They're meeting before a holy God. And sometimes when we come before a holy God, that's where we meet God. And I'm going to challenge you. Maybe you're stuck in the everyday rut and the busyness of the season. Take time sometime during this season to get away and get with God. But Joshua, throughout his leadership and throughout history, he is reminding and remembering how good God has been to this nation and to this people. How God has helped them to win the battles and the war. That God has brought them through the wanderings and the war. And even he brought him through water on dry land because God is that good. And he is reminding these people that there is a choice that they must make. As they look back at the good hand of God, I hope today that the famous words of this old man Joshua aren't just sayings that we know and we quote, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you? It makes great decoration on the walls of our home. You can buy from Hobby Lobby that saying and you can display it in your home and really not be serving Jesus. And so the challenge today is don't hang it on the wall. Hang it on your heart and mean what you say to the Lord. What gives us the boldness today? I'm not better than any one person. But here's what we know. God is faithful. Amen? And because of God's faithfulness, we can know that we will serve Him all the days of our lives. But how can you do that? There are a couple of things that you must do before you make the commitment to follow Jesus and to serve Him all your life. Look at verse number 13 of chapter number 24 of Joshua. Here is the words of the Lord through Joshua. He says this, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. The first thing that you must recognize before you can declare, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, is you need to recognize God's grace. Recognize God's grace. Joshua is reminding these Israelites of how good God really is. He has led and protected and saved and given to them in many, many ways. How many of you know that grace is getting from God that which you don't deserve? We defined it as unmerited favor or undeserved favor, but you know that you should have gotten something else, but you got a blessing from God instead. Many of you may relate to your parents in this matter. Maybe you can look at your parents and say, I deserved punishment, but they showed me grace. Anybody guilty of receiving grace from parents? Yeah. Grandparents give plenty of grace. I know that. But here's what I want you to know, grace upon grace, and sometimes we are expecting the worst, and yet our parents surprise us with something different. Well, God is the same way, but on a grander and holier scale. The Bible tells us throughout the book of Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one. He calls us in the 5th chapter, enemies of God. In the 6th chapter, he says the wages of sin is death. Think about this. Every time we sin, we deserve wrath or death from God. Eternal separation is what sin does. But yet, throughout all of that, Romans 6 tells us of a gift, something that we didn't earn or we didn't deserve, or we can never pay back. A gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? And by grace, you can have that. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Here's what it says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So today, here's the one thing that some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but some of us have in common as Christians, is we have received that good gift from God by faith. Amen? We know that. We know that we don't deserve it. We know that we deserve punishment. But salvation can be ours through the grace of God. Now go back to Joshua. Sorry, I got in the New Testament a little bit there. But here's what I want to say. God through Joshua is telling these Israelites, you have land and you didn't even work for it. You're eating of fruits and foods that you didn't plant the plants. You didn't even work them to produce. You did nothing, but you are eating of those fields that you didn't work or plant. These are my gifts to my people. And hopefully today, as you look around, especially these seasons, you can realize the grace of God in your life. When we think about salvation, here is my prayer. I pray that you have received that gift of God. But in order to declare with boldness that you will serve the Lord, you have had to have received of the grace of God salvation by faith. And so you can't proclaim it. There's no use hanging it in your home if you don't understand that what you deserve because of sin is hell, and what God gave you is eternal life through His Son Jesus Christ. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know anything that will. So before you can declare it, you've got to recognize that you didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. God freely gave that gift to you by His grace. There is point number 2. Look at verse number 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Point number two today is, before you can say that or proclaim, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," that there are some things that you need to set aside, and there's someone that you need to serve. Set aside and serve. And in verse number 14, it captures this so well. After the Israelites were told about grace, God through Joshua gives them clear instruction in verse number 14. And that charge needed to happen, and that charge is very simple. There are some things that you need to stop doing, and there are some things that you must do. When you meet God and you understand His grace, listen to me, it's got to change your life. Salvation can be a prayer. Salvation is more than a prayer. If you walk an aisle and you pray a prayer and you walk out of these doors an unchanged man or woman, you're not saved. When you understand the goodness of God, it must change you. It must cause something to be different. And so what we're seeing here is a word which we label sanctification. Now listen, sanctification is a lifelong process. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but day by day, I hope to be more like my Savior. And it's going to take the rest of my days, and I still won't get there. But day by day, we are being renewed. But it's a lifelong process of God changing us and making us into who we should be. But there also should be some immediate changes in your life as well. Now, when I was saved as a 15-year-old boy, there were some immediate changes. I lost friends because I told them I love the Lord. And I went to church, and I didn't want to do or go or say or hang out. I didn't want to do those things anymore because there was an immediate change. And here's what Joshua says. There's got to be an immediate change here. And that change, you must put away some things. So, children of God, there are some things that very humbly we must do. We must submit to God. We must put His will before our own. And Joshua calls the people to have godly fear represented in their own lives. Look at verse number 14 again. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth." The first thing that he charges them with is a fear of the Lord. And in a holy way, they needed to make changes to come under the leadership of a very holy, holy, holy God. But they also needed to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. So today, when we talk about what's standing in the way of serving and living for God, for the Israelites, it was their false gods, the gods of their fathers. And those gods would rear their heads, and they could not figure out which one they wanted to worship. Did they want to worship the gods of their father, or did they want to worship Yahweh, the one true God? And so here is this old man calling on the Israelites to leave their false gods, to leave their family gods, and to leave the finite gods that they had known all their lives, to set them aside and fully follow the Lord. I know today that false gods and family gods still rear their heads. They look very different. And if we're not careful, we will find ourselves still worshiping these false gods. So as we look at this in our lives today. Verse number 14 says to serve Him in sincerity and truth. So the first thing that they need to do is they need to put away those false gods, but then they need to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. The word sincerity speaks to completeness. It speaks without serving any other god. Let me relay that to my house. On Sunday mornings, there's no other place. There's no other thing. We go into church because that's where we worship God together. And so sometimes in our family units, we must still, in sincerity and completeness, understand that there's nothing before God. Nothing can come before God. That is what Joshua is telling them. And then the other word is this, truth. The word truth speaks to a constant, firm, trusting faith that does not waver. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if your faith has ever wavered, because I'd raise my hand. But here is the reality in what we see. Joshua says, this God who has done all for His people is the one true God, and you must now worship Him and follow Him in sincerity and in truth and completeness and not wavering from Him. But before you make that declaration, you must know grace and you must be willing to be changed by God. Don't be changed by your pastor. Don't be changed by a denomination. Don't be changed. Be changed by God. I can stand before you today and say, I do what I do because of God. And God is that sole reason. Most people in this room have an other side or have an Egypt side. Look at verse number 14 again. At the end of that verse it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Do we have another side, or do we have an Egypt side? Do we have a side of us that used to do those things, and now because we serve the Lord, there's a different side? Here is what I'm trying to get across, and maybe it's not coming across clear, is this. When you set aside your old sinful ways, there must be a new, changed, glorified person in Christ through Jesus that gathers to worship together today. You've got to leave the old love before you can love the new God. That's what Joshua is telling them. You've got to leave that which you have loved for so long, that which you have known for so long, that which you have worshipped for so long, and serve ye the Lord. Families, to make a declaration for your house and for your family, you must understand this. There are some things that are okay to set aside that are not of God, but we must follow and serve the Lord fully and faithfully. Fully and faithfully. That is what Joshua is commanding the Israelites to do. Look at the verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Stop right there. Point number 3. Before we can proclaim and boldly say, as for me, there needs to be a choice that is made today. Choose today. There are debates in the religious circles, even in the Baptist circles. And I'm not going to jump into this pool, but here's what I'm going to say. I believe that God works in people's lives, but I also believe that man and woman must respond. I believe that you have a choice of what you are going to do. And so with that said, Joshua from God commands that a choice needs to be made from these people and these leaderships, these people in leadership, not tomorrow, but today. And that choice must happen before any other step is made. That command of verse number 14, to serve ye the Lord, opens up in verse number 15 an option that is, if somebody sees something evil or wrong, you don't have to make this choice. But that is your choice. Here's what I want you to understand today. Not making a choice for Jesus is a choice. If you walk out of here and say, I don't need it right now, I'll do it when I'm older, that is your choice. You are choosing not to serve the Lord. When we look at verse number 15, Joshua says it could be evil in your eyes. There are other gods that you can serve. You've got to make that choice of what you want to do. So the first thing that Joshua says, you have to choose. The second thing that Joshua says or implies is this, that you're going to serve something. Whether it's the evil things or the gods of your fathers, you're going to serve something. In Clifford Baptist Church in 2024, here's the message, you're going to serve something. Something's going to command of your energy, your effort, your time, your money, your family. You're going to serve something. It hasn't changed. And the third thing that Joshua implies here is a choice needs to be made this day, today. Joshua says, I don't have time. I'm getting old. I don't know that we'll ever all be together again. Something needs to be done today. And here's my message to you. There will probably never be another day that all of us are gathered in the same place at the same time together. That's why today is important. Tomorrow is a mindset of delay and dependence on something that is not promised. I woke up and said, I'm going to do that work tomorrow. Raking leaves and cutting grass, I can do that tomorrow. That homework that needs to be done, I'll get it tomorrow. That visit, I need to do this, I'll do it tomorrow. And how many of us are guilty when tomorrow comes, it still doesn't get done? That is the harsh warning about tomorrow. One of my favorite preachers says, tomorrow is Satan's word. Because it delays what God can do today. So, a choice has to be made. It cannot wait. But listen to these words about tomorrow. Jesus says this, don't worry about tomorrow. In Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. You can't count on it. Solomon says this, that don't boast about it because you don't know what it will bring. In Proverbs chapter number 27 and in James chapter number 4, James says this, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So here is the importance from Joshua, from God to the Israelite people. You've got to make a choice today of who you're going to serve. Clifford Baptist Church, this choice cannot be put off. It cannot wait. It must be made today in some way. Deep down in my heart and with all sincerity in which I preach, I need you to understand this. The importance of today, this moment, right now, you must choose who you will serve. When we put that in a family context, it matters today. Our children are important today. Our wives are important today. Our husbands are important today. And God needs to be served today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. I sat in a room when I was 15 years old with a pastor that came from somewhere out of town in a little country church, preaching a sermon that I still remember the title to a young boy that was struggling. The title of that sermon was, "You Need the Father." To a teenage boy, God knew what I needed. And I'm glad I did not delay. That night changed my life forever. It has not been perfect. I have wandered, I have strayed, I have ran. I have told God, "I'm done with you." But God wasn't done with me. You must make a choice. And that choice needs to happen today. One more point. Verses 15 and 16. I'm going to go to the end of verse number 15. Here's what that verse says. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." The fourth thing, it's not just speaking words, it's a commitment to God today. You need to commit to God. That declaration is more than a Bible quote. It's more than a good saying. It's more than great words. This was a commitment from Joshua and his family. And so today, we've got to look in the mirror, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for our church families, for our community and for this world. We must serve the Lord. But Joshua's declaration, I want you to notice about that. The first link, Joshua's declaration, it was very public. Listen to me. I don't like standing in front of a bunch of people either. But here's what a public decision does. It holds you accountable. As Joshua stood before these leaders and he made that declaration, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Everybody watched and saw and heard that commitment to the Lord. I think it's important to make your commitment known in a public way. But Joshua's declaration was standing to testify not only for God's leading in the past and God's protection in the past, but God's leading in the future. We're going to serve a faithful God. I want you to see Joshua's decision. At the end of verse number 15, he starts out by saying, "As for me." Every decision for Jesus must be personal. You are not riding anybody's coattails to salvation. You can't ride mama's and daddy's faith. You can't just join their church and be there because they... None of that matters. I know I'm hurting people's feelings right now. That don't matter. My boys cannot ride my coattails because that's their preacher's kids. They cannot. It must be an individual decision. But Joshua starts with himself, "As for me..." So this declaration is for him, but he takes it a step further. "And my house," those that are connected and close to him. Joshua's decision would be more about than just for him. It would be those that are close to him. How many of you know that Jesus, if Jesus is in the home, Jesus can work there? You may be sitting here this morning and say, I'm the only one in my family that's a believer. God can use you. Don't you give up. Remain faithful. But make that commitment. As for me and my house, anyone that is connected to me will simply know this. I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus. If you go out with me and we eat, we're going to eat good, but we're going to pray before we eat. Right? Anybody knows that around me on Sunday morning, we're going to worship somewhere. Anybody around me knows this? I love Jesus. And if I can get passionate about a football team or a baseball team, I certainly can stand up here and get passionate about Jesus. As for me and my house, what you gonna do? Be careful. That word serve. That word serve doesn't mean that you're just gonna come to church. That word serve doesn't mean that you're going to write nice notes or you're going to speak good things. That word serve doesn't mean that. As for me and my house, my family, those that are connected to you, the duty is to serve the Lord our God for the rest of our days. That's what we will do. Now I imagine in my head, this old man, when I'm writing these notes out on the paper, what's this old man going to do? Some of you have said those same words. I'm too old. No, you're not. I'm too young. No, you're not. I can't do. Yes, you can. Because you, if you with all your heart will serve the Lord Jesus Christ, He will lead you, and He will bless you, and He will show you exactly what you are supposed to be doing. 5 years ago, I'd have never pictured myself standing where I am today. The God's honest truth. I was going to ride out youth ministry and B&W for the rest of my days. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't He? What does it look like when you and all of yours commit to serve the Lord? Decision time. Everyone today has to make a decision. Don't pack it up yet. Don't pack it up. I might preach on. It's a couple more verses in that chapter. Decision time. I love sports. Most of you know that I do. When you come out of a timeout and a focus, you've got a game plan. At this point, you need to formulate a game plan between you and God. I don't want you to say these words because the pastor twisted your arm or told you to. I want you to say these words if you truly mean them, because that's what you're going to do for the rest of your days. Not just you, but everybody connected to you. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15, the end of it. As Joshua writes in this verse, you got all the choices in the world. If it's not right to you, don't choose it. If there are other gods, don't choose this one. But Joshua's declaration for he and his family was simply this: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What if serving the Lord means that you got to leave Clifford, Virginia? God, that's what I'll do. What if serving the Lord calls you into ministry? God, that's what I'll do. What if the serving the Lord means sacrificing for Him? That's what I'll do. In this moment, we've seen Joshua's declaration and his decision and his duty to serve as he chooses to follow Yahweh. What kind of commitment do you need to make today? There are some good Christian people that are saved, but that are not committed. Commit today. I'm not telling you to do everything the pastor tells. I'm just saying be committed to the Lord in what you do and in your faith. There are some people in this room today that need a church family, and you need to commit to a church family. And if it's this one, God bless you. If it's somewhere else, God bless you. Let God lead you in that. There are some people in this room that need to commit to Jesus by faith, through grace, for salvation. You've put it off, you put it off, you put it off. You know that the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. You need to make Him Savior. Today, if you need to commit to doing that, you better not wait. You're not promised your next breath. Don't wait. Church family, as we stand in these moments of invitation and sing, maybe you want to grab your family and come kneel. I'm not saying you have to. Maybe in a public way you want to make a commitment. Maybe you want to stand at your seat and utter those words to God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you commit for your family, you better make sure your family knows what you're committing to. In these moments, it's about God's business. And after we end this prayer, every one of you is going to make a choice. You're either going to stand and you're going to leave here serving the Lord, committing to that, or you're going to be holding on to those things which you cannot let go. Joshua's message is to let go of those things and serve the Lord today. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you for this moment. As we bow before you, thinking about our families, thinking about our marriage, thinking about our children, thinking about the outreaches and the connections across the rows that we're even sitting in, God, thank you for this day. Because today is your day. It's a day of worship. It's a day of praise. It's a day that we look to our God and we worship Him in this place. But today is about commitment as well. So God, whatever is on the hearts of your people today, if they need to make that profession, that declaration, that commitment in a public way, God, I pray that you will lead them to do that. Lord, maybe it's just standing where they are or telling a friend or a neighbor. Lord, I pray that you will honor those commitments, but we come before you as a holy God today. Lord, use us. If there are believers in this room, use them to serve you and to serve you well in the ministry. Call them out. Move them if you have to, God. Do your work, and we trust that you will, because you have been faithful thus far, and we know that you will continue to be faithful. Lord, maybe there's that one that recognizes that sin separates from God and has never made that commitment to ask Jesus into their heart and for Him to be their Lord and to serve Him all the rest of their days. God, I pray for that one that needs you as Savior in this room, that your Holy Spirit will do the work, will do the drawing, but a choice must be made there as well. God, whatever the need, we put it before you today. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for your holy word. And God, we thank you that you are faithful to us. Lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.